This is the Late Round Podcast with your host, JJ Zacharisa.
What's up, everyone? It's JJ Zacharyson, the editor-in-chief at FanDuel and at NumberFire.com, and this is episode 157 of the Late Round Podcast, one of the many shows that are part of the NumberFire Podcast Network. Thanks for tuning in. We're 1 week away, you guys. We're 1 week away from weekly NFL content that's there to help you set your lineups each week and win your leagues. The weekly grind is almost here. So with that in mind, I figured that we could finish the offseason with some bold flavors. Instead of me digging into how I feel about particular guys and where you should draft them, or instead of me analyzing a draft strategy, today I'm just degaffing and I'm getting bold. I'm looking at the wide range of outcomes for players, and instead of studying the averages, I'm just going to be sitting on the boundaries. Sit back and strap in. Today is the yearly fantasy football bold predictions episode. Before getting to the boldness, I wanted to remind you guys about NumberFire Premium. With NumberFire's customizable draft kit, you can just enter your league settings and get a custom draft board tailored to you. Plus, with NumberFire Premium, you get risk profiles, auction values, tier sheets, expert rankings, and so much more. That doesn't even include NumberFire's award-winning DFS tools, gambling picks, and premium content that also come with NumberFire Premium. First-time users can use promo code CHAMPION at checkout and get their first month of premium for just $9.99. That's promo code CHAMPION. Visit numberfire.com/premium for more details. Carson Wentz will finish outside the top 10 quarterbacks. So this is obviously bold because Wentz was an MVP candidate before he tore his ACL last year, and fantasy footballers are drafting him at QB7 this season. The reason I think it can easily happen is because of his touchdown rate. Last year, he threw a touchdown on 7.5% of his throws when the league average was 4.2%. As my mentions have let me know, Carson Wentz isn't some league average passer. I totally get that. But since 2000, we've had 19 instances where a signal caller had 200 or more attempts while hitting a 7% touchdown rate. Of those 19 occurrences, 16 passers have next season data. And among those 16 quarterbacks, none of them saw an increase in touchdown rate the following year, with the average decrease in rate being 2.7%. I would be shocked if Carson Wentz is able to sustain close to the touchdown rate that he saw last year. And considering that he's coming off an ACL tear, and he plays a position that's super deep with lots of competition in fantasy football, it's easy to see how he'd finish outside the top 10 at the quarterback position. To be honest, this is probably the most mild of all the predictions on today's show. Ben Roethlisberger will finish as a top 3 quarterback. So we're going to stick with quarterbacks here and look at the other end of the spectrum, where I let all of you guys know that I'm really into Ben Roethlisberger this season. And some of the reasoning is sort of narrative based, sort of. Over the final 6 relevant regular season games for Big Ben last year, he averaged a weekly quarterback finish of 5.83, and he was the best fantasy football quarterback during that stretch. So let's stop pretending that there's no ceiling for Ben Roethlisberger. And while I generally don't like just taking random chunks of a season and drawing conclusions from it, it might not just be some sort of random variance that caused it. The Steelers played in plus matchups against Tennessee and Green Bay during the stretch, but after a Week 10 game against Indianapolis last year, Pittsburgh's quarterback coach and now offensive coordinator Randy Feuchner shifted to a role on the field instead of up in the booth. And that's when everything got awesome for Ben Roethlisberger. Maybe it's just a coincidence, but maybe it's not, considering Roethlisberger's history with offensive coordinator Todd Haley and the bad blood that's there. Feuchner also shifted the Steelers into more of a no-huddle offense during that dominant Big Ben stretch. According to Pat Thorman of Pro Football Focus, through that game against Indy, the Steelers' offense ran no-huddle on 13.4% of their plays. That jumped to 18.3% during the Feuchner down-on-the-field era. And it's looking like we're going to see more no-huddle in Pittsburgh here in 2018, which may not bring efficiency per se, but it may bring more overall scoring for that offense in general. So this little offensive coordinator story, along with Ben Roethlisberger's awesome weapons, are why I think that he's one of the high-end QB2s who have legitimate plug-and-play upside this year. Trey Burton will outscore Greg Olsen. This is a bold one because Greg Olsen is being selected 4 tight end spots ahead of Trey Burton, though Trey Burton is rising fast through the ADP ranks. And I think this bold prediction is possible, given Greg Olsen has seen his yards per route run drop in each of his last 3 seasons, and he's scored just 1 touchdown across his last 15 regular season games. But what's most important, and I can't stress this enough, Olsen is competing for targets with more talent than he's ever seen before on that team. He's got Christian McCaffrey coming out of the backfield, and he's got Devin Funchess and DJ Moore at wide receiver. Olsen hasn't seen this type of competition since he joined the Panthers. Meanwhile, there's a legitimate shot that Trey Burton is second on the Bears this year in targets. And he's playing in an offense under Matt Nagy that saw Travis Kelce hit at least 21% of the team's targets in each of the last 2 years. I'm much more into Trey Burton at his average cost than Greg Olsen. And I don't think that it would be crazy to see Trey Burton just straight up outscoring Greg Olsen this season. Rex Burkhead will finish as a top 12 running back. I see why I'm high on Rex Burkhead this year. But there really is a path to him being an RB1 in fantasy football, and it's by basically doing what he was doing before he got hurt last year. Sony Michel is part of the equation in New England now, but he's been sidelined with a more severe knee injury than the one that Rex Burkhead has. That should make you feel confident in Burkhead, at least in the short term. But even if Michel takes on that Deion Lewis early down role for New England this season, Burkhead will have a high ceiling. In 5 regular season games last season where Rex Burkhead and Deion Lewis played worthwhile snaps together, Burkhead averaged more snaps, targets, and goal line touches than Deion Lewis did, and he averaged over 4 more PPR points per game. During this stretch, only 2 players in the entire NFL had more goal line carries than Rex freaking Burkhead. So with Burkhead, we've got a player who's going to see a good number of targets from one of the best quarterbacks in the game. And by the way, targets are more important than rushes in fantasy football. And he's also going to see goal line touches in one of the best offenses in the game. Don't pass on Rex Burkhead this year. George Kittle will score at least 8 touchdowns. This one's bold because only 5 tight ends hit the 8 touchdown mark last year, and only 2 of them got there the year before. And meanwhile, George Kittle is being drafted at tight end 13. Now, last season, when he played with Jimmy Garoppolo, George Kittle didn't see a high target share. It was about 10.8% target share. But his 8.2 yards per target rate ranked 15th all-time among rookie tight ends with 20 or more catches. But what's most important to this bold prediction, Kittle saw the 6th most red zone targets and the 10th most targets from within the opponent's 10-yard line last season at the tight end position. And remember, guys, he was a rookie. If the 49ers can keep up their end of 2017 pace, they're going to see some positive regression in the passing department. Because when Jimmy G took over last year, they were first in yards per drive and scores per drive, but they were 10th in touchdowns per drive. So with Kittle, you're getting a potential red zone threat in an offense with a good quarterback that's also got the upside of scoring more touchdowns than they did a year ago. Melvin Gordon will finish as a top 3 running back. This one's obviously bold because we have a big 4 running backs in Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, Ezekiel Elliott, and David Johnson. And oftentimes, Melvin Gordon is being drafted behind Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley, and sometimes Leonard Fournette and Kareem Hunt. Melvin Gordon has not been a very efficient back throughout his career so far, but that doesn't really matter all that much, especially considering he hasn't played behind great offensive lines. This offseason, the Chargers helped that line with signing Mike Pouncey, and that's after seeing improvement over the second half of 2018. I think that you could easily argue that Gordon's offensive situation is more attractive than what you would get from David Johnson and Ezekiel Elliott. And the Chargers aren't shy to use Gordon heavily where it matters most, and that's at the goal line. In 2017, only 5 running backs had more carries within the opponent's 5-yard line than Melvin Gordon did, while only 3 of them had more attempts within the 10. And 2 years ago, in just 13 games, Melvin Gordon ranked 3rd in goal line rushes. And beyond all this, beyond what he can do on the ground, Anthony Lynn has already talked about using Melvin Gordon more in the passing game. And fantasy owners should be all about that. Gordon ranked in the top 10 in target share last season at the running back position, so any more love in the passing game would just catapult him into truly elite usage. That's why he can be a top 3 back in 2018. That's why Melvin Gordon could easily be a top 5 pick in 2019. Emmanuel Sanders will outscore Demaryius Thomas. This one's bold for obvious reasons. Demaryius Thomas is being drafted far ahead of Emmanuel Sanders right now. But it could happen because Emmanuel Sanders has played more than 50% of his snaps from the slot in the preseason, which is far more than his 27% mark that he saw last year and roughly 24% rate that he's seen over the last 3 seasons. And that could be a really big deal with Case Keenum at quarterback. Because last season, Minnesota, Keenum's old team, ranked 8th in the league in yards to the slot receiver. That's according to Pro Football Focus. Adam Thielen thrived in that role for Minnesota last year. And not only that, you guys, in Sanders' last 2 healthy seasons, so we're looking at 2015 and 2016, he's come within 2 PPR points per game of Demaryius Thomas. It's not like Emmanuel Sanders would be emerging from nowhere. He's a very talented receiver, and I think there is an outside shot that he just outscores his teammate this year. Kenny Stills will finish as a top 24 wide receiver. Stills continues to be undervalued in fantasy football this year. And I find this kind of surprising because he's finished as a top 30 wide receiver in PPR formats in each of the last two seasons, and those were 2 years with Jarvis Landry on the Dolphins. Landry and his consistent 27% target share is gone. Jarvis Landry is not a Miami Dolphin. That leaves the pass-catching options in Miami to Kenny Stills, Devontae Parker, Danny Amendola, and Albert Wilson. Devontae Parker would be the hypothetical biggest competition for looks for Kenny Stills, but he's been struggling in camp. So who can the Dolphins rely on? It's obviously Kenny Stills. He should be able to just walk into 100-plus targets this year, and given his big play upside, there's a chance that he can squeak into wide receiver 2 territory here in 2018. Drew Brees will throw at least 30 touchdowns. Now, this is bold because Drew Brees is coming off a season where he threw only 23 scores, and the Saints became a more run-friendly team. But as we know, the way that touchdowns are scored can be pretty random. In 2017, New Orleans scored as many rushing touchdowns as they did passing touchdowns, which is something that's only happened 17 times over the last 7 years. Of the 13 teams where we've got next season data, we've seen an average increase in passing to rushing touchdown ratio of 1.3. So let's just assume New Orleans has 46 touchdowns once again. Just by this normal increase, that means that we're looking at 32 passing touchdowns and 14 rushing touchdowns for the Saints. And it's not like Drew Brees is bad. He had the fourth highest adjusted net yards per attempt rate of his career last year. And it's also not like the Saints were some run-heavy team when they got close to the end zone. They were 19th in pass-to-rush ratio at the goal line, and they were 13th in the red zone last year. Positive regression is coming for this Saints passing attack, and Drew Brees can absolutely get back to that 30 touchdown mark. The last bold prediction of today's show is probably the boldest of all, and that's Chris Hogan will outscore Mike Evans. This is obviously bold because Mike Evans usually gets drafted at the end of the second round while Chris Hogan falls off the board at the end of the fourth. But I think it can happen. I think it can happen because I'm higher on Chris Hogan than most and lower on Mike Evans than most. In 2017, we saw that Mike Evans' target share can in fact be influenced by added weapons in the offense. His share of Tampa Bay's targets was close to 30% 2 years ago, but his biggest competition for targets was also Adam Humphries. The team then added DeSean Jackson and they drafted Chris Godwin and OJ Howard. And as a result, we saw Mike Evans' extrapolated target share drop by about 5%. Now, Chris Godwin, who's a great talent, and OJ Howard, who's also a great talent, have another year under their belt. And DeSean Jackson may take on a different role in the offense to increase his effectiveness. And on top of that, Jameis Winston is suspended for the first 3 games of the season. It's not that we should believe that Mike Evans is just going to be a bust this year, but it's easy to see how he may not live up to his average draft position. And then everything's looking up for Chris Hogan. He's got one of the best quarterbacks in the game throwing him the ball, New England lost Brandon Cooks over the offseason, and the team will be without Julian Edelman for the first 4 games of the season. And guys, let's not forget, prior to Chris Hogan's injury last year, so the first 8 weeks of the season, we saw him with a 13.6 PPR points per game average. That was just as strong as Mike Evans' rate a season ago. If Hogan comes close to his ceiling while some of Tampa Bay's younger stars start to emerge, it's not crazy to think that Chris Hogan can just outscore Mike Evans in 2018. But that's going to do it for today's show. Thank you guys all for listening to my bold predictions. If you've yet to subscribe to the Late Round Podcast, make sure you are by searching for it on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, TuneIn, and Stitcher. And make sure you're following me on Twitter at LateRoundQB. If you have any questions for this week's mailbag show, you can hit me up on there or email me at jj@numberfire.com. Thanks, everyone. Talk to you later in the week.